Come on with it.
We can do every type of position.
That's that mink slide.
I feel secure with you, baby. When you put your loving arms around me, we can do it anywhere, baby.
Y'all better get that mink slide album and join us live in concert.
Because you're teasing me with the things that a player needs.
Join us live in concert. December 22nd, I'm going to be rocking this shit. I'm going to have some baby oil on my chest, giving it up for the ladies. Oh, y'all better get that Mink Slide album, minkslide.com, and get your tickets. Get your tickets, ladies and gentlemen, at minkslide.com. Oh, we're going to be rocking that thing out. I can't wait to do this one live right here. This is the jam right here. We're going to do a video to this one. This is a sexy-ass song. A lot of folks like this song. How y'all doing, man? We're going to have a great conversation tonight, man. We're going to talk about this immigration situation. And I want to ask black folks, is immigration, especially that immigration caravan that they keep talking about, is that something that we should concern ourselves with? We're going to get deep tonight, family. We're going to get real deep tonight, but you know what we got to do. We got to take that real quick commercial break, family. While we're doing the commercial break, y'all listening to the commercials, y'all look, if you're on YouTube right now, hit that Patreon button, become a Patreon so we can continue to keep the hot fire hot. Hit that, and we'll be right back after this commercial break right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, all my comic book heads out there, you need to check this out. Check out Brand Comics. That's a hit supernatural comic book brought to you by Antonio Bryce and Image Comics artist Kanan White. This comic book has raised almost $50,000 on Indiegogo already. In the storyline, you have to follow the heroes, David and Dawn Craven, as they try to stop Lionel Solomon and the mysterious group known as the Covenant from taking over the world. Find Brand in the comic section on Indiegogo or visit ikaripress.com to go directly to the page. That's ikaripress.com.
What up, my black people? This is Cesar Wiseman. You know what I'm saying? I'm back at it again with my new studio album, White America's Nightmare, featuring the new single Heat, produced by Phil DeBeat.
I got my sidearm cocked, fully loaded, ready to
shoot. She's All I Need, featuring KJ, the producer.
She's All I Need.
Every time I think about you.
And the self-titled album track, White America's Nightmare, featuring Aaron J.
We both, your worst nightmare.
White America's Nightmare, available at philosophyent.com. Coming soon, yo, black first.
Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at legendarymix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. Legendarymix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at legendarymix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit legendarymix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@legendarymix.com.
The year is 2079. The future. futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mid Slide Live in Concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the funk party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest the APX at Ticketmaster.com. For more information, go to MinkSlide.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Shonda. Because you're a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in on Tariq Radio, ready to chop up some good game, as we always do. You guys can still get the Malema shirts. We have the Malema shirts available at HiddenColorsFilm.com, HiddenColorsFilm.com. And speaking of Hidden Colors Film, we're working on Hidden Colors 5 still. We're still working on that. Hidden Colors 5 will be ready next year. We're looking at around June 2019. For Hidden Colors 5, we're really marinating, making it real tight, taking our time with it, and you know how we do. But in the meantime, you can get Hidden Colors 1 through 4, and you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get those wonderful Malema shirts to show our solidarity with the brothers and sisters over there in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, don't forget to get your Mink Slide tickets. We're going to be in Atlanta performing December 22nd at the Center Stages Theater. Us and the APX, we're going to have a great time out there in Atlanta. And one of the reasons why I wanted to rock with Atlanta, I love Atlanta. Atlanta, the vibe out there, they've always had riders in Atlanta. That's one of the reasons we wanted to do the Mink Slide show out here. Just the venues were real janky, but Atlanta, that was my second choice, and they have real nice venues out there. And the venue we're going to be performing in is hella nice. Center Stage Theater is very, very nice. And I love the energy in Atlanta, brothers, because Atlanta, them niggas about that life down in Atlanta. They've always been about that life. You know, I moved down to Atlanta for a couple of years in the 90s because I fell in love with the vibe of the people down there. And there's a video that I posted up on my Twitter the other day. You know how these white supremacists, they be rolling up on black folks with all that sucker shit, trying to punk black folks out, intimidate black people, especially in road rage incidents. And I got a video from down in Atlanta where this white supremacist was rolling up on this brother trying to get some road rage bullshit popping, and that brother pulled that thing out on his ass. And then the dude, the white supremacist, sped the hell off. Let me play the audio of that. If you follow me on Twitter, you can actually see the video of it. But let me play the audio of it. You dig? Hold on. This is the audio. Hold on. Where am I? Okay. Let me play the audio of it. And my computer act right. Here we go. This is the audio of this cat.
Yeah. Do that shit again. I don't give a fuck, nigga. I got one too. Pull your shit out, bust your ass. I'll shoot the shit out your ass, nigga. Fuck you talking about, nigga. I don't give a fuck about no gun, nigga. I got one too. Whole ass nigga, what's down? What's up? What you trying to do? Yeah, thought so. Piss ass nigga. come back, nigga. Nigga, Atlanta, all on with a strap.
All right, so that's down in Atlanta. This redneck white supremacist tried to roll up on a brother. Understand something about Atlanta. This is what people got to get straight about Atlanta. When people think Atlanta, y'all think a lot of, you know, LGBT. You think a lot of gay dudes walking around. And no disrespect to them. Those are brothers. A lot of, you know, gay brothers and sisters feel comfortable in Atlanta. And that's their right. They're our brothers and sisters. But be very clear. They ain't really from Atlanta. A lot of them are from other places. All right? Let's be clear. A lot of the LGBT community, they come from other cities to Atlanta. Motherfuckers from born and raised in Atlanta, it's a whole different type of vibe from somebody who just moved there. The people from there, it's a whole different culture. And one of them native Atlanta niggas will fuck you all the way up down there. I used to roll with some of them street cats down in Atlanta. Them niggas don't fuck around like that. So when you hear somebody in Atlanta say, fuck you talking about, nigga, it's about to go down. When you see somebody yell, fuck you talking about, that means it's about to go down somewhere in Atlanta. You dig? Also, man, what's up with the gun laws? I heard the gun laws down in Atlanta are very relaxed. They have very lax gun laws down there. Some people were saying you can get certain guns without a license down there. I'm not too clear on the gun laws down there, but I know niggas be holding, though. I know niggas be holding heavy down there in Atlanta. You dig? So I want to learn more about the gun laws down there. You dig? But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Also, I know you guys heard about Dr. Phil on the Dr. Phil show, y'all. There was this bed wench, Mammy, on there, and she had her daughter talking real reckless about black people. And I don't think I'm going to play the clip. I played some stuff last week on my other broadcast. This girl named Treasure and her mother Monique. Now, what's happening now? This Treasure girl was talking real reckless about black folks. And Dr. Phil, he was on The Breakfast Club acting all surprised. And let me explain something to you about white supremacy. Like our brother Neely Fuller says, the white supremacists, they'll play both sides of the argument. They'll sit up and create and orchestrate a situation where somebody's talking real reckless about black folks and then act like they're trying to stop it. So they had this black chick on here, this 16-year-old black girl, saying vile shit about black people. Black people are stupid. Black people got big noses. Black people got big ears. Black people are ignorant. They loud. They ghetto. I mean, she was every negative stereotype about black people that the Dr. Phil show and the producers allowed her to say. They elevated her to say all that vile shit. Understand it. And now the girl's sisters come out. One of the sisters came out and said that the girl is a fraud and they were just clout chasing and the Dr. Phil show is a fraud. They knew that these girls were frauding. So, you know, there's a lot of stories going out countering what happened with that. But the fact that the Dr. Phil producers would put her on there and allow and orchestrate her to say all that, don't miss that. That's something that Dr. Phil and his producers orchestrated. Do you understand? I want y'all to be very clear on that. They orchestrate shit like that. They'll have a black person do the dirty work for them and act like they're all concerned and shocked that they're doing it. When you get on television, especially shows like that, they know what you're going to say before you say it. And clearly the girl was reading a teleprompter or something. They went over it with the producers on all the vile shit they're going to say about black folks. Black people are stupid. Black people are dumb. And then Dr. Phil plays the whole fake concern. Oh, my God. Oh, God. You can't say that. Why are you saying, oh, this girl needs help. She needs an intervention. She needs help. But shut the fuck up, Dr. Phil. You ain't slick, Dr. Phil. Because you know what's interesting on that show, when she was saying all that vile shit about black people, the girl said, yeah, some people are just retarded. And then Dr. Phil said, hey, we can't say that now. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you draw the line at retarded. So now That's where you correct her and stop her when she says the word retarded. When she was saying all types of vile shit about black people are dumb, stupid, ignorant, loud, ghetto, big noses, big ears, stupid black skin, fucked up hair. Oh my God, nothing. But she's like, oh, people are just retarded. Hey, we can't say that now. Don't miss that. White supremacists love playing both sides of the argument. Black people, you have to understand. Warfare is deception. Warfare is all about deception. This is why the white supremacists have mastered conquering the entire planet, because they become masters of deception. And black people, you really got to understand that concept. When a white supremacist gets out of the bed, they just dream of new ways on deceiving your black ass. They live to deceive you. They come around you for deceit. They come up with cool, clever ways. That's part of white supremacist culture, deceiving non-whites. You dig? They love deceiving you. That's part of their culture, coming around you running game, lying in your face, pretending to be one way and have another agenda. That's part of their culture. That's the art of war. They've mastered that. We got to give it up to them. And I tweeted this earlier. A white supremacist will get on a jury, vote not guilty for a white cop killing a black child, leave that jury and go put on a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and go out in the streets with you and protest police brutality. That's the kind of shit a white supremacist will do with a straight face, and they won't miss a beat. They'll let a cop off and then go protest with you. They do that all the time. If you understand that concept, then you'll start recognizing how to deal with white supremacy. You can't trust the white supremacists or suspected white supremacists for nothing. Black people think just because a white supremacist is up there hugging and rubbing on you, that they're somehow different and they're somehow not deceptive. Because, see, black people, we've learned how to become pets to the white supremacists. And they treat us like pets. They know how to make their pets happy. Just rub on them a little bit. Give them a couple of kibbles and bits. Give them a little water. Rub on them. Tell them, good boy. And niggas are like loyal pets. You're like loyal little hound dogs. You'll do whatever they tell you to do for years to come. Black people have created a culture of subjugation where we're comfortable with subjugation. We got to get out that shit. Because now that's going to be deadly, because they're trying to wipe us out. See, we think that we're going to still be comfortable under that system of oppression, where we're going to be second-class citizens. No, they're trying to wipe us out. So things we used to do in the past, we got to change our game. We got to step our game up, family. We got to change the game. And you got to understand this. We got to start weeding out the collaborators within black society. It's a good thing we start weeding out people like The Root, those folks who are the fake mouthpieces for black society. We've called them out, and there's others that we got to get on too, like those blabbity people. And there's a hashtag or catchphrase, the blabbity blacks. Blabbity just put out an article the other day talking about that Nicki Minaj, Cardi B beef. One of the moist writers from Blabbity put out an article talking about toxic masculinity is the cause of the Nicki Minaj, Cardi B beef. So they somehow flipped that to blame men. And reading the article, it's even more confusing. It's a very short article, and they just went through all types of stretches and flips of logic to justify blaming brothers. But we got to understand, this is the type of shit that we got to deal with out here. That old black media and that white controlled black media. See, we got to continue to neutralize them. And we're being very successful at it, because their words don't mean nothing now. Their words mean nothing now. People are not taking them seriously. So this is why we have to control the narrative, because understand, people, black people, we are an abandoned class. we've been abandoned by not only our government, we've been abandoned by our law enforcement. We've been abandoned by the media. Not only have we been abandoned by them, they're actively against us. So we got to have a code and we got to be really fearless. This whole cowardice thing ain't working. And other people, they're totally fine with us being attacked, with us being abused, with us being beaten. There's nobody that we can go tell on. There's nobody we can go tell. We can't. There's no big mama or big daddy that we can tell. We got to be the big mamas and the big daddies. See, we think just filming some shit is just going to be enough. We're going to film them and go tell white mommy and white daddy. White mommy and white daddy don't give a fuck. There's nobody to tell. We're running out of people to tell. Nobody cares. They're actively okay with us being abused. And they turn a blind eye to all of these white supremacists and these white extremists festering all over the internet. They're perfectly fine with it until these white supremacists start attacking non-black people, which is what they did this week. Well, last week, you know, there was a big mass shooting at a synagogue out there in Pennsylvania. And now, after that synagogue shooting, certain white supremacist websites are being targeted, like Gab. They started to demonetize that site. That representative out of Iowa, Steve King, some of his sponsors, they're dropping him now because of his white supremacist rhetoric. Do y'all know how many years I've been tweeting about Steve King? I want y'all to go to Twitter and do a search on my name and Steve King. I've been exposing this dude's anti-black white supremacist racism for at least 3 or 4 years. They've been new about this guy's racist ass white supremacist views. I've been calling that dude out for years. And now, all of a sudden, when non-black people are getting shot and targeted, all of a sudden, now he's a problem. Also, speaking of death, another brother out there in Ferguson got lynched, from what I understand. They found a brother hanging, and he was the son of an activist out there. You notice all these Ferguson activists were being targeted and killed. This is about the fifth activist from Ferguson that's been killed. Do y'all know that? These are not suicides. A lot of these activists are being killed because a lot of us went out there and we got certain people out of office. We got a few things changed around. We didn't get Darren Wilson charged. But on the political landscape, we changed a lot of things around. Like we had something called campaign recall for Mike. We had that out there, had a town hall meeting, had politicians out there that I was working with. Some of them came through the town hall meeting. And we got to understand, when we start getting certain people out of office and getting folks removed and getting things changed around and getting police chiefs out of the paint, we got to still understand that you got to protect yourself. Because these white supremacists are vengeful. They're very vengeful people, man. They'll take revenge out on certain people. So we got to be on code and we got to be on our P's and Q's at all times. But we got to understand this. Right after that synagogue shooting, a lot of people were talking about anti-Semitism. People low-key, they lightly talked about some of the white supremacists, but they still tried to lone wolf the guy who did it. They tried to make him a lone wolf instead of looking at the bigger picture of white supremacist sleeper cells all over the place. So a lot of people in the media, they did something very cowardly, and I want y'all to really peep how they did this. Do y'all know they started blaming Farrakhan? They tried to get a wave going in the media where they're all going to start blaming Farrakhan. They start talking about, well, people like Farrakhan with his anti-Semitic rhetoric, that contributes to stuff like this. Are you insane? Y'all, that was cowardly as hell for them to try to blame Farrakhan. The Nation of Islam has never, ever, or Farrakhan, they've never, ever targeted any groups for any kind of violence, ever. And the reason why some of these media outlets tried to do that, they think they're slick. They tried to do that because if you start looking at all these white supremacist alt-right cats, the roads are going to lead back to these media outlets, because many of these alt-right dudes work for some of the mainstream media outlets. Do y'all know that? When you start dissecting and getting into all of these white supremacist organizations that's dangerous and deadly, you're going to see that many of them work at some of these publications, like the Proud Boys, Gavin McInnes. You know, he founded Vice. That's another thing. A lot of these so-called alt-rights, they work at these so-called liberal, and they help create these liberal publications. You understand? So who's funding the Gavin McInneses and all these cats? Where they get all that money from? Who's funding these dudes? Look at BuzzFeed. That's another one. BuzzFeed, you had people like Baked Alaska working at BuzzFeed. Baked Alaska is a very dangerous white supremacist. He's at all of them rallies causing ruckus and starting fights and all this shit. He was out there at Charlottesville. He worked right up there at BuzzFeed. In the Daily Caller, they were talking about Farrakhan and his anti-Semitism as it contributes to the synagogue shooting. The Daily Caller, that's Tucker Carlson's joint, they got dudes there now connected to the alt-right. So again, they're trying to throw a Farrakhan as a smokescreen so that people won't look into them. You dig? So this is why we got to drive the narrative. It's very important for us to drive the narrative. Because people know now you're going to get the real deal over here. People know now that we got a grassroots movement going on, and we've delegitimized a lot of the blabbity blacks, the roots Negroes, the ebony crowd. They're completely delegitimized. The Rollins, all of these people, black society don't take them seriously no more. And all of these puppets that the white supremacists try to trot out as black leaders, they know deep down black people are not really rocking with them. And now it's election season. They're trying to scam black people back into voting. They're trying to run the con game on us. They're trying to galvanize the black vote on a grassroots level. They want the young black voters. See, they want that same momentum that was for Obama. They're trying to recreate that, but a lot of young folks ain't really feeling them. So they're trying to go to thought leaders. But who are the thought leaders? Thought leaders are people like me and others like me. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm telling you from facts. I got an email the other day from some people connected to Rock the Vote. Now, Rock the Vote, they said that they're a nonpartisan organization that tries to get people to vote. I got an email from them. I got an email from the people connected with Rock the Vote, and they wanted me to work with them to get people to vote. They wanted me to use my social media platform because they see that I have influence. This is what they're telling me. They were telling me they've been watching. They know. This is why I'm telling you. They watch you. They watch us. And they were asking me to use my influence to get everybody out to vote, to get black crowd out to vote. And I emailed them back and I said, who has a black agenda? Straight up, who has a black agenda? Then they email me back doing some splaining. They email me back splaining, kind of talking in circles, talking about how all the there's several black people running for office around the country. I'm like, okay, and there's the Stacey Abrams, there's the brother down in Florida. Okay, and where's that black agenda? I'm not hearing nothing about no black agenda. You understand? And I'm not going to tell nobody to vote unless there's a black agenda, unless somebody's speaking directly to black people. Let's be very, very clear. And I'm going to tell y'all, like I told y'all when Trump was running the first time, we shouldn't vote if nobody's going to have an agenda. Let Trump win. And there's some niggas out here, there's a lot of people who actually blame me for Trump winning because I had a whole campaign telling people, black folks, not to vote. And people are like, man, there's people like you, Tariq, man. You got Trump in office telling black people not to vote. Man, what the hell? What the hell are you talking about? What has happened to us that didn't happen under Obama? Look, let me read the thing from the people who's clicked in with Rock the Vote. They were like, they emailed me. I emailed them back. I said, I'm willing to hear from a politician who will actually do something for the black voter. They said, thanks for getting back with me. I totally agree with you. And politicians in general, one way to get at your concern is to make sure elected officials reflect the diversity of the country. Luckily, this year, there's 468 black female candidates running for office, more black men as well, but I don't have the exact numbers. This is them saying it. Incumbents are hoping that we all stand down and don't vote in the midterms. You have the power to inspire people. One message you could go with is simply encouraging people to vote. But no, no. I'm not voting just because there's a bunch of black people running. What's their agenda? See, this is the thing now. They keep talking about, well, there's a bunch of black people voting and there's some black women voting too. Okay. Okay. And what are these black people going to do? See, we're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe just because a black face is up there and we're going to automatically vote for the black face because it's a black face. If that's the case, we can vote for Sheriff Clark. If that's the damn case. All black faces are not for black people. Who's funding that black face? Who's putting money behind that black person? Who's controlling that person's agenda? Are they willing to do something for the vote that we give them? We're going to have to be on that right now. We got to be hard body on that. Yeah, Hillary Clinton, you know, she just did some interview where she made a little racist joke. They said something about Eric Holder and Cory Booker, and they got them mixed up, and Hillary said, oh, no, it's okay, they all look alike. So she can't even hide her racism. That's why black people aren't fucking with her. So that's what y'all want us to vote for? We're going to have a hard line and say, hey, look, if y'all don't have an agenda for us, for black people, we're just not going to rock with you. And earlier today, the word Willie Horton was trending today because there was an anti-immigration ad that the Trump administration put out, you know, going in on the immigrants coming over, like some scare tactics for, you know, the Fox News crowd. And people were comparing that to the Willie Horton ad from the 80s, where there's a brother named Willie Horton. They ran an ad talking about Willie Horton got out of jail. He's black and scary. He killed two white people. So vote for us. So what they were trying to do is latch on this immigration thing to the black thing, to anti-black racism. They're trying to compare it, this immigration thing, to anti-black racism, so that black people can be galvanized to support the immigration thing against Trump. I'm saying this as far as the immigration thing, because the Stacey Abrams, if you look at her site, she's talking about how she's going to be for immigration. She's going to be for LGBT rights. I mean, that's specifically on her website. She ain't saying shit about black folks. My brother down in Florida, I like the brother. He seems cool. But I want to hear some more about an agenda. Because when I see and I dig into some of the people that's funding this dude, I'm like, okay. I see the word black popping up all over, but they're not talking about actually doing anything for black people. And my thing about the immigrants coming over with that whole caravan, they keep talking about a whole caravan of people coming from South America and they're trying to get over here, I'm not too crazy about them coming over. I don't like to see nobody mistreated. Don't like to see that at all. You know, I'm a human being, but I'm a black person first. And I want to look out for the interest of black people first. And if we're going to be 100% honest, immigration after the civil rights movement, that has not helped black people whatsoever. And I'm going to ask y'all, like I asked people on Twitter, how has immigration helped black people? Now, black people, we were the ones in the 1960s getting the shit kicked out of us so that they can have immigration. They can have other people come over here and live right. It was black people getting their asses whooped for that. It's black people in America. When I say black people, I'm talking about Native Black Americans. It's black people who fund these folks when they get here. They usually set them up around us, give them businesses that we fuel. Do y'all understand me? I want y'all to be very clear. These people eat off us. When the Koreans come over, they eat off us. The Chinese, they eat off us. They come over, open up them nail shops, they eat off us. The Arabs come over here, they open up them liquor stores and gas stations, they eat off us. Those East Indians come over here, get them 7-Elevens and shit in the hood, they eat off us. All these groups eat off us. We haven't benefited from them at all. We've been undermined by them, if we're going to be very honest. They try to create this false equivalent minority status between us. But these people don't identify with us at all. As a matter of fact, they identify more with the white supremacists than us. And they use that identification status against us. Immigration has been a hindrance to black society, if we're going to be honest. And I'm talking about immigration after the civil rights movement. Do y'all understand me? We're going to have to be very clear. Don't let them finesse us talking about, hey, we need to step up for this immigration thing because we are all minorities in the struggle. Do y'all know, black folks, when some of them come over here from South America, those Hispanic, white Hispanic, they come over here and start hooking up with the alt-right. They start hooking up with the Proud Boys, even before the alt-right and the Proud Boys. The Mexican Mafia, all of these dudes in the jails and prisons in California, they're lined up with the Aryan Nation. They're allies with them. They're not allies with the Crips and Bloods. A lot of those Hispanic gangs are clicked all the way in with skinhead gangs and white prison gangs. And we out here knocking ourselves in the head, and Jesse Jackson and all our so-called black leaders out here campaigning for them to come over so they can come over here and start fucking us up. We got to be real, man. We gotta look at this in a very honest way, because we think we can cape for everybody and it's going to be reciprocal. Family, when has this shit been reciprocal? We've been caping for these people for 50 goddamn years. When have they paid us back? We're just going to have to ask real honest questions here. When have they ever paid us back for helping them? Because we have helped them. Black Americans, we've helped them more than any group, and they know it. And they pay us back by aligning themselves with the law enforcement. Then we get the Zimmermans and the Yanez. We get all these Hispanic race soldiers who line themselves up with the white supremacists to murder us. And you got the Hispanic white supremacist gangs like the Nazi lowriders. All of these people are against us, man, as a group. Now, I'm cool with Hispanics on the individual level, but I'm talking about as a group. See, the thing is, niggas are so happy to get them a little, some South American cooch. You think you arrived because you get to fuck a little Mexican chick that you done met somewhere. Or you done fuck the chick from Honduras somewhere. You dig? And we're going to have to be very honest with how people get down and how they treat us and how they've never reciprocated at all with us. And the thing is, when it comes to voting, a lot of black folks we have a slave mentality when it comes to voting. Black folks can't even give you a good reason why we should vote. When we talk about why we should vote, you know, you got the old civil rights fossils that they parade around, like John Lewis. Notice all those old civil rights Negroes who are funded by white dollars. They're paid to go out there and campaign and compare the civil rights struggle to the immigration struggle. Every other week, you got John Lewis out there. Oh, Lord Jesus, I remember when I was in Selma. Oh, when you see John Lewis, you're about to hear some shit about how he got his ass whooped in Selma and how that's going to relate to everybody else. Oh, I remember these immigrants remind me of Selma when I was on Edmund Pettus Bridge. They hit me in my head every which way, broke my skull 3 times. But I prayed and I asked for forgiveness, and here I am, and I'm going to pray for the immigrants. We should all get in good trouble. That good trouble speech. Sit your ass down and eat your biscuits, nigga. I don't give a fuck about no John Lewis. Yeah, I'm saying it publicly. I don't give a fuck about John Lewis and his buck dancing. Yeah, I'm saying it publicly, goddammit. Every time they parade one of these civil rights niggas out here, we're supposed to bow down and give him props because he got his ass whooped in Selma. No. No, nigga. What have you done lately? Don't come telling me about that ass whooping in Selma. We heard it, nigga. Not what you're doing now. Well, I remember my ass whooping in Selma. No, nigga. What else now? Because you're out here fucking up the game now, dude. You fucking the game up. I don't give a fuck about no damn John Lewis. We got to respect these old niggas that's undermining us. Come on now. You caping for all these other groups. Hell, I remember when that gay club got shot up in Orlando. John Lewis was all in there having a sit-in. He was at the White House. They were all linked up. I mean, they put their lives on the line for every other group. They ain't doing all that for these black kids out here getting shot by these race soldiers. You don't see him giving that good trouble speech for that. I haven't heard the good trouble speech for these black kids out here. See, that's the problem I have, nigga. I'm not hearing your good trouble speech. When we start talking about these black babies getting beat the fuck up by these race soldiers, now I don't smell biscuits no more. The biscuit scent then just disappeared. But if a gay dude gets a jaywalking ticket, oh Lord Jesus, I remember when I got a ticket after I got beat in Selma. Oh, we all gonna get in some rainbow good trouble. Nigga, please. That's why young folks ain't fucking with those dudes, man. That's why young folks ain't rocking with those dudes. That's why they want to come to us to get people to galvanize the vote. And we ain't going to do nothing until you have a black agenda on the table. You're going to have to get a black agenda on that table. All that shit, we can't say nothing. White people going to get mad. Well, fuck it then. We ain't going to vote for you. If you worried about somebody getting mad, we don't need to vote for you. But when it comes to black people voting, and I've asked this on Twitter, what are y'all voting for? Nobody has a black agenda. So what you voting for? Black people, you can't even give a good reason why you're voting. Usually it's some intangible, symbolic bullshit. It's always symbolic and it's always intangible. And usually it's one of three things when you ask somebody why they're going to vote. When you ask a black person why they're going to vote, they're going to say, because my grandma and my ancestors fought for the right to vote. Okay, that's bullshit, empty ass symbolism. I'm just going to do some shit because I've been doing it for so long. It's a tradition. It's a tradition to shuffle on down there to the voting booth. Lord Jesus, thank you, Dr. Martin Luther King. It's symbolisms. We just do shit out of symbolisms. We got to get off symbolisms. We got to start doing things that are practical. That's a very big problem black people do. We just do shit even when it has no practical current value. Just like the food we eat. We still eat shit from slavery. Like, we shouldn't even be eating no damn chitlins. The only reason niggas ate chitlins is because they didn't have nothing else to eat. So niggas, I love me some chitlins. Lord Jesus, give me the hot sauce. We just do shit just because we've been doing it so long. I'm just going to keep on doing it. Now, that's the way I am. That's slave talk. I'm just stuck in my ways. That's slave talk. I's going to be a slave forever, so I's just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. That's slave talk. Do you understand? So that's one reason we vote. Negroes vote because of symbolic reasons. Another reason, they vote because they don't want the other guy to win. They think the other guy is more racist than the Democrats. I don't want the GOP to win. If we don't vote, that means Trump gonna win. If we don't vote, that means a racist gonna be in there. Niggas, do y'all understand? More black people were killed under Obama than any other time in this country. Do you understand that? More black people were killed by these race soldiers under Obama more than any other time. Even during the civil rights and the Jim Crow era, black folks weren't slaughtered like that. We were slaughtered under Obama, and that was the most we voted. Black people came out in historic records to vote for Obama, and under Obama, we got slaughtered in historic numbers. Do y'all understand that? We're going to have to come to terms with that. Come to terms with that, family. So it don't matter if the GOP wins or whatever. That's a good thing because it's open white supremacy. It's not going to be white supremacy with the black face, which is what we got with Obama. Obama, he's out of office and he still don't say shit for black folks. When that synagogue got shot up, Obama popped up out of nowhere. When that synagogue got shot up, Obama's been all over the place. Oh, that was horrible. Oh, whoever did that, oh, you're going to get punished. I mean, he just popped up out of nowhere. I'm like, damn, Obama, where you been, player? All these black folks getting shot, he ain't saying shit. And understand, all those blue laws, Obama was signing all them blue laws where you protect the police instead of punishing them. Obama was signing all that shit. Come on, man. We got to just start being honest. And understand when we got duped, when we got fucked over, and understand how not to get fucked over and duped again. We got to start being smart, people. Stop being symbolic. And the third reason black people vote, because these are only the three reasons, because your grandparents did it, because the GIP, you don't want the GOP to win. And also, we think we're going to get some trickle-down benefits. And that's another thing. Niggas start talking this trickle-down shit. Hey, black person, why are you voting? Well, I want health care, and you know that we'll benefit from some health care. Let's trickle down. Let's give something to everybody, and we'll get the trickle down crumbs from it. Why are you voting? Well, we're gonna get some school funding, and everybody's gonna get some of that, and that's gonna trickle down to me. That's coon talk. It's like, everybody gonna eat. Let me just get some crumbs off everybody's table. Let's lift every boat and hopefully I'll get something out of it. That's trickle down shit. That's more slave talk. You understand me? And also watch out for some of these other words that Negroes pick up on that the white supremacists throw them. Because niggas start talking. And this is, I want black folks to really understand this part of the game, how they'll hustle you. When they say, well, we're going to do something about criminal reform. And then Negroes start repeating that. Well, this politician, well, he's going to do something about criminal reform, and that's going to help black people. That's a con game right there. Because number one, what about the black people who are not criminals? Do you understand? What about black people who aren't criminals? What the fuck you mean criminal reform? And that's going to trickle down to black people. That gives the assumption that we're all criminals. Watch that language. And criminal reform don't work. Ain't no criminal reform. I was talking to Ice-T about this. Shout out to my brother Ice-T, the rapper, the legend, Ice-T. Ice-T, back in the day, he had a gang reform program. And he noticed that nobody was supporting it until they changed the name. They had to change the name to gang prevention, because under gang reform, when you say you want to reform a gang member, most people don't like gang members. They're like, well, fuck them. He a gang member. Fuck him. I ain't trying to reform him. Fuck a gang member. So I said we had to do gang prevention. So we have to prevent people from getting in gangs. So that's when people started to support the thing. So when you say criminal reform, people feel the same way. If a black person is a criminal, fuck them. I ain't going to support that. Watch the words. Neely Fuller taught us about how the white supremacists use words in a very clever way against us. Watch those words. And also when they start talking about they're going to do prison reform, that's another thing. Well, prison reform, that's going to help people. Prison reform is going to help white drug addicts. Do y'all understand that? We keep thinking if they use some vague catch-all term that somehow is going to benefit us without them saying it. Bullshit. You got white drug users going to jail left and right, so they're going to use that to help them. That shit ain't going to trickle down to you. Understand, words are tools. They're very clever with the words. Fuck all that. Don't ever go for that trickle-down bullshit. We need specific. You need to do something specifically for black people. We don't need trickle down. Y'all didn't get trickle down when we were in slavery. That wasn't trickle down. Y'all had all of our asses whooped during 100% of that damn labor. It wasn't no trickle down. During Jim Crow, wasn't no trickle down white supremacy when black people were denied resources by the government. Wasn't no trickle down. The majority of us were locked down and beat down when they were giving out them VA loans and home loans that all the white people got that black people couldn't get. And that literally created the white middle class. It wasn't no trickle down. Now, niggas, y'all ain't getting shit. So miss me with the trickle down shit now when it's time to show up a hoe up. Now, all of a sudden, well, we're going to give everybody some health care and y'all niggas will get an Obama card. Nah. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Yeah, them racist GI bills. Y'all know the white middle class, when they start talking about all that government welfare bullshit, that's a con game. The Republicans like talking all that. Well, the Democrats, they create a welfare state. You know, people living off the government. Do y'all understand the white supremacists have lived off the government for 500 fucking years? They've been getting shit from the government the minute they got off on this damn land. Don't let them run that welfare game. Always remind them when they start talking about a welfare state, the biggest welfare, the welfare capital of America is Owsley County, Kentucky. I always point that out and that shuts them right the fuck up. When they start talking about Democrats, black people and welfare, always point out Owsley County, Kentucky is the welfare capital of the United States. I want y'all to Google that. O-W-L, how do you spell that shit? O-W, okay, I can't spell for shit now. Hold on, let me write this shit out. My spelling is fucked up. Hold on. Okay, there you go, I got it. O-W-S-L-E-Y. Okay, I had a little spelling brain freeze for a minute. I had to write it out. But Owsley County, Kentucky, it's a city, it's a town in Kentucky. It's an all-white town, like 99% white, 98% Republican. It's all white, all Republican, and the entire fucking town is on welfare. Every motherfucker in this town gets food stamps and welfare. I mean, everybody. It's infamous for being the poorest white place in America. All they ass vote Republican and they all own the goddamn county. Owsley County, Kentucky. So don't ever let them run that welfare shit as a Republican town full of white people broke as hell on the damn government right now. You understand? They love running that game on you. talking about a Democrat. Ain't no, you ain't got no all black towns and everybody's on no damn welfare. You don't have that. They like to keep that town under wraps, all them broke ass hillbillies over there. The hell you are, the whole town on welfare and you white and all the white benefits and privileges that you could have flipped and you own wealth, the whole town is on welfare? What the fuck does that say about you? What does that say about you? Not one of them should be on no damn welfare, let alone a whole town. Black folks, if we're on welfare, we got a goddamn excuse. Yeah, we should be on welfare. More of us should be on welfare. Yeah, people who have been enslaved, Jim Crow, your resources have been taken away from you. You've had white supremacist laws taking your resources, depriving you of resources. So, yeah, a couple of niggas on the county. Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't be under those circumstances? How a whole goddamn town on welfare, though? And you white and you've had every law and benefit in your favor. You understand? The whole town. Look that up. Not some of them. The entire town is on welfare. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But we got to understand some of the words that they try to use. Some of the words that the white supremacists try to use against us and try to use to run game. When they start talking about police reform, watch those words too. We don't need no police reform. Police reform, basically, that's a low-key way of rewarding police. When you start talking about how police are slaughtering black people, they start talking that, well, we need police reform, meaning we need to train them better. We need to give them more money to train them better. We need to spend money to take the police to the African American History Museum to show them how good black people are. That's a fucking con game. That is a major con game they run on us. Don't ever go for that. You need police punishment. You need get tough laws on police corruption. You need anti-police corruption laws where they're going to be punished for killing people on a racial basis like they're doing. Don't let them run that police reform game on you. So when people talk about what black folks need, what they need to do, they need to allocate resources for black businesses. They have the resources for that. If they got the resources for all these damn prisons and all this other nonsense, they could allocate resources for black businesses, not minority. Don't let them trip you up with that minority garbage, because that's what they'll try to do. Well, there's minority businesses and no. No, because a lot of these other minorities are against us. This is why they keep elevating these coons out here. And they're pulling out all the stops. I saw something. Well, they had Oprah. Oprah was campaigning for the sister down there in Atlanta. I want to play Oprah's speech. She was down there for Stacey. Oprah's trying to... Oprah was actually out there knocking on doors for Stacey Abrams. Oprah is out there campaigning heavy down there in Georgia, knocking on doors, campaigning for Stacey Abrams. And this is Oprah talking about why we should vote for Stacey Abrams and, you know, talking about why black folks should vote.
Stand in the polls. I do what Maya Angelou says. I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. For all those who paved the way that we might have the right to vote. And for anybody here who has an ancestor who didn't have the right to vote, and you are choosing not to vote, wherever you are in this state, in this country, you are dishonoring your family.
Oh, here they go. Yo, aunt, you better vote because your ancestors did.
Disrespecting and disregarding their legacy, their suffering and their dreams when you don't vote.
They're suffering. Oh, I was on the Edmund Pettit Bridge. Oh, I got my head beat. Oh, they suffered. I suffered. Oh, we got to vote because they got beat up in Selma. That's the whole, your ancestors vote. If they fought for the right to vote, you got to vote for them. They suffered. They got beat up on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. That's a Selma speech. That's another damn Selma speech. You understand? Nobody can give a practical reason why. Nobody can give a practical reason why we should get out there and vote. Nobody can give a practical reason. Because the thing is, the people who fund these folks, which is white dollars, they tell them, don't commit to black people. We know that. We saw with Hillary and those leaked memos about DeRay McKesson and all that shit, how they were saying, don't you commit to black folks. Don't say you're going to do nothing. It's the benign neglect policy that's still in place. They still got that benign neglect policy. And if you guys are going to keep that benign neglect policy, meaning let's not offer black folks anything, let's just keep conning them into voting and supporting all of us, well, we just won't vote. We'll benign neglect your ass too. We're having a reverse benign neglect. Benign neglect goes both ways. We treat others as we are treated. It's the golden rule. We're having a reverse benign neglect. We're going to have to stand on that square, family, and let them know we ain't moving unless you put some on the table. Y'all ain't about to finesse us out no votes. We're not about to get finessed no more. Because you got a lot of coonery coming on the left and you got a lot of coonery coming on the right. And understand this, as far as these immigrants, that's not going to galvanize us, because look, we know that they're going to come over here and work against us. They've never helped us. And then some people will pop up and say, well, hey, wait a minute. What about black immigrants? There's black immigrants who come over here. What about them? What the fuck about them? Oh, let's get real. What about them? What about them? Well, they black, but they don't act like it. When a lot of these Caribbean and African immigrants come over here, they go out of their way to distance themselves from us. We become all types of akatas. They don't identify with us. I ain't about to cape for them either. For the most part, while you want to be real, I'm cool with a lot of people who are Caribbean and African, but I'm talking about on a group level. Let's keep this thing 100 now. Let's keep this thing 100. Some of the black immigrants, they are no better. Some of the black immigrants are no better. I understand all victims of white supremacy are equal, but understand, some of these black immigrants come over here, they are team white supremacy all day. You ain't seen no bedwinching until you seen one of these Caribbean or African bedwinches. These first and second generation ones, let me tell you something. Look at all the, in the media, they usually hire those Caribbean and African immigrants to work in liberal media and even right-wing media. But they hire many of them to work in media to represent the voice of black people, and they're not even from here. There's a very good reason why they do that. The white supremacists just don't do shit to be doing it. The white supremacists, they know they're Negroes. They know what Negroes to get from where to do certain jobs. They've always known that. They've known that during slavery. They knew where to go to get certain people out of Africa to do certain jobs. They knew to bring certain slaves to South Carolina from the rice coast of Africa because they wanted to cultivate rice. They knew that people over there had skills in cultivating rice for thousands of years. So those are the people who they would get. People who could cultivate wheat, who could cultivate other crops. They knew where to go in certain parts of Africa to bring them into certain parts of the country. So they know their Negroes. They know their Negroes, and they know where to get them from. They know where not to get them from. They know certain Negroes were a little bit too rowdy. Like, hey, don't bring me no Angolan Negro. Don't bring me no nigga from there. Them niggas are rough. Bring me some submissive niggas from over here, from this tribe. They know. Say, don't bring me none of them Amazon women. They whoop motherfuckers' asses. Don't bring none of them. Bring me something from over here. They know. They know. They study your history more than you. They know your history more than you. And they know how to get Negroes from certain African countries and certain Caribbean countries, and they know how to hold that green card over them. They know how to vet them niggas, and they know when they come over here, they let them know, hey, don't you get with them African Americans if you want this green card. Don't you get with these African Americans. Don't you act up over here now. We're going to send you back to that village where ain't no water. So you better come over here and act right. So now you got niggas over here looking like us, and they done learned the language a little bit. And they got a choice. Throw your ass under the bus or go back to that village with no water. So they'll do anything that white mommy and white daddy tell them. You better understand. They come over here and throw us all the way under the bus. Somebody in the chat room pointed something out. Recently, on BuzzFeed, BuzzFeed did an article. And I just told y'all about BuzzFeed earlier. They try to be all liberal and all this shit. And BuzzFeed did this article. They were talking about how come all of these rappers are not held accountable for their sexual assault. I said, wait a minute. Even before I saw the author of that, I said, first of all, they either got a gay black dude or some bedwench mammy from the Caribbean or Africa to write this story. I already knew just from the headlines. I already knew. When you see BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, one of these publications, and they got an article talking about how black rappers are bad, black men are this, black people are that, black Americans this, but I can almost 9 times out of 10, it's an African or Caribbean writer or a gay black writer who wrote that shit. They get their minions. Sure enough, I looked her up. It was a chick, an immigrant from Kenya, who wrote that bullshit. And she got help with the article from another immigrant from Nigeria. All of them working up there at BuzzFeed. You understand? I already knew. That I said, that smells like Jollof. I smell it. I can smell the foo-foo. I smell it already. You dig? The writer was an African bedwench. You understand? So a lot of them work for those publications. So I had a couple of African immigrants who were mad at me, and Caribbean immigrants too. It was a couple of Caribbean immigrants who were mad because we were pointing out their bullshit. They were talking some shit. Man, because I asked people, I'm like, what are some of these immigrants, how are they helping us? And some nigga popped up talking about, well, Marcus Garvey, he was an immigrant. He influenced black people. Malcolm X's mom, they were immigrants. Nigga, don't point to some shit from 100 years ago. I'm talking about after the civil rights movement. I'm talking about after the civil rights movement, dude. Back, you don't have immigrants like Malcolm X's parents and Marcus Garvey. You don't have no Marcus Garveys coming over here no more. Let's stop trying to run a con game. You don't have no Marcus Garveys coming over here no more. They vet niggas. That's why they vet you. They ain't trying to have no cats coming over here influencing like that again. They vet you. They vet the shit out of you. They're going to make sure you ain't going to come over here and stir up the pot. You understand? They make sure when you come over here, you're going to ride that coon train heavy. So we got to be very clear about shit. And we got to understand when we have enemies who look like us. We got to understand when certain people are working against our best interest and trying to look out for themselves, and they put on the game face and try to learn some lingo. That's another thing. A lot of these immigrants, first and second generation, look at niggas who use a lot of corny, outdated slang. I've been noticing that. A lot of these niggas who use this real outdated, overt slang, trying to sound like a black American, that's a dead giveaway right there. You got to watch out for stuff like that. And also, we got to watch out, too, for native coon parents. We do have a lot of coonery out here. The thing about us, We do call out our coons. And a lot of us will vote, and if we're going to be very honest, a lot of black people, we vote because every few years being fake and phony, smiling in our faces, we know it's fake, we know it's phony, but the fake white approval is better than no approval. Fake white approval is better than no white approval, and that's the mentality that we have. We like the fact that they'll come around the black churches every 4 years, start hugging on some Negroes, patting you on the head. You get to take some selfies with them, and you're so desperate for approval, that's just enough to win you over. That's enough to win you over. That's why all those Negroes were up there at the White House around Donald Trump and Donald Jr. White daddy approval. Their coon parents were sending them up there. Let me play a clip. Fox News interviewed some little Negroes who went up there to the White House to that little young black leadership thing where they didn't talk about no policies. It was just a big PR photo op to make it seem like, well, the Trump administration weren't a bunch of white supremacists. They got all these Negroes there, and those Negroes were happy to go up there because the white supremacists, they knew. They said, well, wait, we know our Negroes. All we got to do is just invite a bunch of them up here. They'll come. Shit, they'll come just to come. And sure enough, they did. They didn't invite them niggas up there and say nothing tangible. They just went up there, let them niggas take selfies. They went there yelling and screaming when they saw Trump. Just groupie-ass, goofy niggas. But they had these two young sisters on Fox News, and I say sisters with quotations, and some old slave looking Negro, I don't know who he is, and they're talking about why they went to the White House. Listen.
But they'll run to the border and welcome people not citizens here, but they don't welcome my kids into the White House. They say it's a disgrace.
As I recall, we ran the soundbite yesterday. Al Sharpton said that the people who were there in the East Room
were props.
Ladies were props.
We were not props. We were not props. We actually had to fundraise to get there. We were not props at all. We love our president. We love our country, and it's America first.
Tell me about how you raised the money to go to the White House.
We went on a GoFundMe, and we shared it for our friends. And we had to buy plane tickets. We had to get nice clothes to go to the White House. And we actually had President Trump sign my big ass.
Oh, the coon laugh. These are young baby coons. These are young little old baby coons talking. And you should see her. We had to buy home mega hats. We had to raise money. And basically, they put up a GoFundMe page, probably saying some shit like, we black and we want to go see Trump. So you know the white supremacists gave them a bunch of money. Idiots. Anytime you want to go up there and act like a coon, the white supremacists, they're mega hat. That's nigga shit. Baby slave coons.
I wear mega hats. And thank God that President Trump signed my mega hat. Say they're racist, they're coons, they're white supremacists. These are the people that supported us.
Yeah, they supported your dumbass fool. Because the white supremacists, they not white supremacists. They gave us the money for some clothes. How they gonna be clothes? Just we just game goofy.
They're coons, they're white supremacists. These are the people that supported us in spite of our skin color. We don't see skin color. We see what's right.
Oh, Lord. You got your baby coon right here. We don't need skin color.
As me, I believe in God. So if God calls me to do something, I am going to do it, regardless of what people around me may see. They don't understand.
You see that terrible language?
Yes, I see their terrible language. Once somebody told me that I should peel off of my skin because I don't deserve to be black.
Why?
Because I support Trump. And the reason why I support Trump is because I'm trying to promote love and push out the hate.
Shut up. Oh, y'all coons with that. See, these coons, you notice that they can't deny Trump's connection to white supremacy. These coons can't really give a good explanation as to why they support Trump. You notice that Kanye was talking that same shit. Y'all remember that? Kanye was talking that same love shit. I'm here for love. Right? I'm here for love. And if the president looks good, I look good and we look good. But I'm here for love. You can't give a reason why you're supporting Trump. You can't give a reason. And you know he's connected with all types of races, so the only thing you can do is start talking that spiritual, dumb, symbolic shit. Well, I support Trump because I'm trying to push out the hate. I know he got a whole bunch of white supremacists around him, but I'm trying to come up here with love. They just need some Negro love. I'm up here for the love. This is what we got out here. Shameful goddamn coons all over the place. Clout chasing coons. They just up there for some gram shine, Instagram shine. Detention whoring Negroes. So if these niggas can get finessed by Trump, you know they can get finessed by any white Democrat. You know, Trump got open white supremacy going up there, and them niggas up there, well, I'm here for the love. So, you know, when the Democrats come, all they got to do is act like they halfway concerned. Niggas up there singing, is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? We get real slavey when we get around some damn white people. God damn, I wish y'all niggas get that slave mentality off you. There was a woman I was going back and forth with on Twitter. I retweeted what she said. This woman tweeted some shit that was so slavish and coonish on Twitter. Let me find this. If my thing is slowing up on me. Hold on. Let me find that tweet. Let me find this tweet this woman put up. I had to retweet this shit. It was one of the most slavish things you can imagine. This sums up the Negro mentality when it comes to voting and just having a code. Hold on, where's the tweet? And if you follow me on Twitter, you can see this woman was responding to me because I was talking, questioning people while they're voting. What are you voting for? Some woman from Alabama, she said, please stop the CRSP line. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the CRSP line means. I don't know what that means. She said, please stop the CRSP line. I'm a black woman that vote, and I'm not looking for politicians to make my life better. I do everything I can to ensure I'm doing better for my family and myself. What are you doing to help black Americans? Don't have to be in politics. Well, I don't have to go through my resume. Y'all know what I've done. You don't ask me that. I've done more for black people globally than shit, damn near anybody. Yeah, I pat myself on the back as far as that. But just the fact, and I replied to her, I said, man, that's the most slavish shit I've ever heard. I said, ma'am, that sounds like slavery. Okay, yeah, that must have been cut the crap. Okay, that's what she's probably trying to say. Yeah, yeah, please stop the crap line. I guess crap line, I don't know. But I said, ma'am, people who put the interests of other people before their own, that's the epitome of slavery. That literally sounds like a damn slave. That's slavery. I's gonna look out for the immigrants. I don't want nothing from the government. I ain't looking for the politicians to make my life better. This woman actually said this. And she's an old negress, an old middle-aged lady. I don't know how old she is, but looked like she's middle-aged. That's plantation mammy talk. What's the point of voting? I's gonna help everybody else. You supposed to oppress, somebody else tweeted me, another mammy, you supposed to oppress people, you're supposed to help other oppressed people. If you don't get the fuck out my face, because you think helping these oppressed people, they're going to turn around and reciprocate. They never reciprocate to help your ass. Somebody tweeted that to me. Oppressed people got to help other oppressed people. Well, how come these oppressed people don't never help us? Huh? None of these oppressed groups don't do shit for us. Once they get their weight up, they don't do shit for us. It ain't our job to help every goddamn body. We got to help ourselves. Nobody's helping us. They don't see fit to do anything for black Americans. So fuck them. When we get this black American thing right, then I'll holler at you. Because when black people were up globally, when we had our shit right, we helped everybody. The mothers and fathers of civilization. We went around the world helping people, lifting up civilizations. And we can see that documented all the way to when Africa started falling, right around the 15th century. That's when Africa started to really go on a decline. But up until then, even with the Mansa Musas, we saw African people going around the world helping people, giving, giving, giving. We got it all. We'll give it to you. We ain't got no problem sharing. We Africans. We got just an abundance here. We have no problem. We've always helped other people. But we got to learn when we're going to have to help ourselves. And we can't give other people the strength to dominate us and subjugate us and control us. We got to start thinking like warriors. We got to start thinking like revolutionaries. It's Black Americans first, then Black globally. See, we got to get this shit right here. Because globally, like I always make the connection, the whole planet is a plantation. All the other black countries, those are the field Negroes. And over here, America is the big house. So we know how the game operates over here. You understand? Well, that's what it is. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here. It's been real. We had a great conversation tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all get your Malema shirts at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go to MinkSlide.com. Get your tickets to join us in Atlanta, December 22nd. We're going to have a ball in Atlanta. Get your tickets to join me and Mink Slide. Our concert down there is going to be off the chain. If you're in other cities, y'all need to fly into Atlanta and join us. We're going to have a great time. All right, family. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get your shirts. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, and also look below if you're watching me live on YouTube, hit that Patreon button and get down and help us continue to keep that black media going.